All right, I'm Jerry Bellier. I am a physician assistant in family medicine, and our talk today, as you have figured out, is when you were in the womb. I'm going to ask Erin Moore, if she would, to lead us a prayer to get us all started.
Let's pray this morning, please. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for bringing each lady out here this weekend, and thank you for this event that we have in Dripping, and for the church here, and the example it is to us. Thank you for Miss Jerry and her knowledge in her medical field, and also her knowledge in your word, and thank you for her desire to teach us and for her example. Please be with us as we listen to her lesson and help us to learn things that we can apply to our lives to be more like you. Forgive us when we fail you. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, thank you. All right, girls. It's the end of the day, almost. All right, so what we're talking about today, let me advance things. Let's make sure things are going to work for me here. There we go. All right. So we are going to discuss the design of our reproductive process, what God has designed for us, and how children develop within the womb. We're going to show how that shows God's handiwork as well. And we're going to talk about abortion, ever popular subject, but we are going to tackle it. And what about me? I am a Christian woman. I work in the medical community. We are out there. It's true. I work in family medicine, which means I see everything from two-day-old babies to 102-year-old people. And it's quite the variety, I promise. And I am a wife of nearly 14 years, and I've got two little boys that I adore who are too young to be here today. But they're excited for mom, so we'll see how this goes. Let's see. I'm going to make it work. Maybe. All right. Let's see what I can do here. There we go. Okay. And Hannah, thank you. Would you mind clicking that when I need you to, just in case? Thank you. All right. Oh, back it up one, Hannah, if you would. There we go. All right. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. We learned that from Psalms. He has known us from the beginning. Thing. Oh, back up. Sorry, I'm putting you to work. All right, this is not a sex education class. Not by any means. We're not going to learn about sex, but it is certainly a part of what leads to this process that we're going to talk about today. So if you're going to giggle, let's do it now. We're going to talk about things that we are glad that the boys are not in here to discuss. All right. We are going to use proper names of body parts. That's the way it is. So let's get it out of the way now. Is it going to be okay? Can do it. It's going to be okay. All right. Oh, there we go. Here we go. Our reproductive organs. This is the female side here, of course. Got our ovaries. The oocytes, those are the eggs, basically. Fallopian tubes, uterus, cervix, vagina. Those are the names. Those are the words we're using, and that's what I really desperately want you girls to use when you go see your doctor. Using a cutesy term for your vagina, should you ever have to have any discussion, please don't. Use the right words. It's going to be embarrassing for you, I promise. Go ahead, Hannah. All right, so here's what we're talking about, and I'm too short to point well, but the ovary, this is where the eggs are made. We've got the fallopian tube that wraps around here. Here's the uterus. This is the cervix. That's the opening where babies come out. And then the vagina that leads to the outside. Go ahead, sweetie. All right. So what our ovaries do? They contain the eggs. When the eggs are mature, they grow in cysts, basically, in the ovaries. And when they're mature, that's when they're released, and we have what's called ovulation. And estrogen is also produced in the ovaries. So estrogen is a hormone in our bodies that makes us female. The level that we have is what makes us who we are. And the estrogen sends signals to our body to tell us to do different things, whether it's to grow breasts, whether it's to prepare for baby. That's what estrogen does. Go ahead, Hannah. There we go. Fallopian tubes. Those are the tubes that lead from the ovaries into the uterus, and that's what the eggs are going to travel down in order to be implanted in the uterus. And there we go. And the uterus, that's the womb. That's where the egg is going to split, and it becomes an embryo. You've probably all heard that term. And it implants in the lining of the uterus, and that lining is called the endometrium. Now, if that egg is fertilized, that embryo is what's going to develop into a baby. If there's no fertilization, that lining is sloughed off, and that's when we have our period. Okay? Go ahead. So in the cervix, that's the opening of the uterus, that has to thin out and expand to allow for childbirth, and then it's going to retract afterward, basically back to normal. And then the vagina, that's going to connect the female reproductive tract with the outer portion of the body. And there are muscles within the vagina that expand, that allow for childbirth as well as intercourse or sex. Go ahead. And there we go. Now, what about the guys? The guys have testes or testicles. That's what produces and stores the sperm. Okay? There's a duct system that, called the vas deferens, which transports, it's a transport system, okay, for the sperm. The urethra, that's the tube that goes through the penis that transports the sperm or semen to be released to fertilize. And then the scrotum is what houses the testicles. It regulates body temperature so that sperm can be produced and be healthy. Okay. There we go. Conception. Sperm meets egg. Sperm fertilizes egg, and voila. We get conception. We get to produce a baby. So, and he answered unto them, have you not read that he made them at the beginning male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So, male and female, husband and wife, they get to conceive. Go ahead. And, there we go. Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. What does that mean to anybody? Anybody? It's okay. I want it open for discussion, girls. If you have something to say, please answer.
God knew us even before
we were sanctified. Very good. Very good. Go right ahead. And let's see, Hannah. Let's make it go. There we go. So here we go. Fetal development. So just, they're hand-drawn pictures, yes. But this is what we would see at 3 weeks. If we could see inside the uterus, doesn't look like a whole lot. But by 7 weeks, there have obviously been a lot of changes. And then we start looking like a person. And then at 9 months, we have that, it doesn't look that cute. But I say that. No, they do. But at 9 months, we have our fully formed person. Go right ahead. And there we go. So, early development. Oh, back up one. Thank you. Oh, we're nearly there. There we go. All right. So, weeks 1 and 2. This is where the embryo is implanted. This is where fertilization occurs. Then in week 3, this is the beginning of this rapid development. So that fertilized embryo, you're going to form what's called a notochord. And now that is going to be the basis of the skeleton. We're talking about the spine, the ribs, the sternum, the skull. That forms the basis of that. And this is when blood and blood vessels form. And they start that early formation of the cardiovascular system. So things are occurring pretty early in the formation. Go ahead, Hannah. So week four. So by the end of that week, this neural tube has closed, and that's what's going to be the central nervous system. And the embryo is growing rapidly. It's now tripled in size by week four. And as we saw in the beginning, that first picture looked just kind of like a blob. Those ends are starting to fold together at that point. We see a little more shape. And in week five, that's when we start seeing some head growth. And there's rapid development of the brain is starting by week five. And the upper limbs, they're starting to form. They look at that point like little paddles. And you start to see little pits where the nose is going to be and where the eyes are going to be. And by the end of week eight, we start to see the limbs are more apparent, and we're starting to see fingers and toes. And up to now, you had what looked like a tail, and that is disappearing by end of week eight. Go ahead, Hannah. All right. So the next portion, we're talking about weeks 9 to 16. So we've covered the first 2 months. A lot happens in 2 months. And now we're going up to the four-month period, and that is where we're concerned more with growth and differentiation of tissues, and organs are starting to develop and be more obvious. And this is what, growth in the body accelerates so that by the end of 12 weeks, the fetal length has more than doubled by that time. So on the outside, most women, we may not be able to tell that they're pregnant still. Okay, we're still talking about a very small little being that's in there. Unless you're like me and you're extremely short-waisted, and by 12 weeks you're a maternity clothes because you can't hide the fact that you're growing out. Now, weeks 13 to 16, growth is very rapid. So the appearance looks more human by this time. You can tell that's a person that's growing in there by 4 months. So in week 17 to 20, that's when growth kind of slows down, but we're feeling movement. So by 20 weeks, even a first-time mom is typically feeling what they know is their baby moving. Up until then, they may have thought, oh, it's gas. You'll hear that. No, it's the baby moving. So weeks 21 to 25, we've got some pretty significant weight gain. The lungs are becoming more mature. They're producing the substance called surfactant, and that's what's necessary for a baby to breathe on its own. So weeks 26 to 29, now the lungs are capable of breathing. The central nervous system can direct breathing outside the mother's body. So if we're talking about really premature babies, this is where we worry. Before this time, we worry if they're premature anyway, don't get me wrong. But by now, they've produced that surfactant. They can breathe outside the mother's womb at that point. And the nervous system has developed enough that it can direct breathing on its own as well and help to control the body temperature, which it couldn't do before. Go ahead, Hannah. There we go. So weeks 30 to 34, we're looking more and more like a baby. The skin is pink and smooth, and arms and legs are looking a little chubby. And let's see, and they start to move more upside down. Because to be born, we want them born head first. It's so much easier that way. And they've started to make that change. And then 35 to 38, at 35 weeks, the baby will have a grasp. They can spontaneously react to light. These are all neurologic signs. This is a developed person. They're getting plump. Their growth starts to slow down. So we're considered full term at 38 weeks after fertilization or 40 weeks from the start of your first period. Or for last period, sorry. Beginning of your last period. And there we go. So, again, we went from 3 weeks, 7 weeks. We see the limbs starting to form. See the the nasal pits where the eyes are going to be. 3 months, more and more like a baby. Growing, growing. Now they're upside down, ready to be born. Go ahead. There we go. So how does that show God's handiwork? And I want this open for discussion, ladies. I want y'all to let me know what you think here as well. This is what I think and what I've found that other people think as well, but I want to know what you think. So we got one egg, one sperm, and forms this rich and complex being that becomes you and your brothers and sisters and everyone around you. And that is pretty amazing, if you ask me. So we're told in Genesis, God told the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So, desire for the husband. We're going to conceive. It's going to be painful. But that is as God meant for it to be. Okay, conception doesn't have to be painful. Childbirth will be. It's going to be okay, though. Go ahead. And let's see here. Maybe. There we go. So, let's talk a little bit about evolution. What are some different theories of evolution? Anybody?
Natural selection.
Okay. Natural selection. Anybody else?
Big Bang.
The Big Bang Theory. Exactly. All right. So, Big Bang. Bang and what? We just all... eventually, millions of years later, turned into who we are, right? So, what do y'all think? Could a one-celled organism make its way out of the primordial ooze and develop into us? No, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. So, we have macroevolution. That's another theory where you're changing from one species into another. What do we hear we changed from? What do we come from? Monkeys, we come from chimpanzees. That's right. However, as much experimentation as scientists have done, they've never been able to make one species from another. They try with fruit flies, and let me tell you something about fruit flies. If you ever had to count them in a genetics lab, they multiply in a hurry. But as much as they multiply, they can make millions of generations pretty quickly. However, they've never been able to make a new species. Right ahead. And there we go. Okay, good deal. So evolutionists, they point to the similarity in DNA between chimpanzees and humans. It's true. The DNA is similar. There's no doubt about it. But that seems to lend more credence, in my opinion, to intelligent design. We have this pattern. We have this pattern. And from that pattern, God has created many different species. And it makes sense to me. He has this pattern, and he can make a change here and create one thing. Create chimpanzees. He can make a change here. He can create humans. Another little change, we've got fish. And we've got chickens. We've got everything else. Yes, the DNA sequence is very similar between different species. That doesn't mean it developed from one species into another. And there we go. All right, ladies. So, let's talk about abortion. What is it? Technically, it's the termination of a pregnancy. Now, if it's a spontaneous abortion, that would be what we call a miscarriage. Okay. That occurred naturally. That fetus was not going to be a viable human being. And you had what's called a miscarriage. Now, an induced abortion, that's brought on purposefully. Okay. That is something that man decided to do. There we go. All right. So, and here's some of the things that we all know. How does society excuse abortion? What do they say? Anybody? It's not a human. Why would it not be considered a human? It's not fully developed. All right. So, technically it's legal. If we're under 12 weeks of gestation, this is a legal process. This is a legal medical procedure. And we've got those that believe it's a woman's right to choose. She can do with her body what she chooses. Anything else y'all can think of?
Also that if they're babies that are going to have medical problems, mm-hmm. then it might just be better for them to die.
Got it.
People think that.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. There are those that choose to have a selective termination, basically, selective abortion for that reason. Yes, ma'am?
The last point doesn't make sense for starting because it's not her body. It's a different human being inside of her that she's supposed to be protecting.
So I agree. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am? All right, it's hard to know where to draw the line. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
In that form of rape, then they do excuse
me. Right. You're right. And what her comment was, if y'all didn't hear, was in the case of rape, that can be used as a reason for abortion as well, to be performed legally. I think I saw somebody else. No? Okay. All right, go ahead. That's true. What she pointed out is by saying it's a woman's choice to do with her body as she wants, it doesn't give the father an opportunity to have a say in the matter either. Okay. And unfortunately, I couldn't get this to run earlier. Hannah, I don't think it'll work. I'll show it to you guys in just a little bit. It's an ultrasound. It's pretty clear that it's a training ultrasound, actually. What they show is a heartbeat. At 5 weeks, that is something that can be detected. We know, and from what we went through, we know that the cardiovascular system has started to produce at that point. Now, and the neurologic system. So both of those are developing at 5 weeks. So by the time a woman's pregnancy is diagnosed, in other words, she's missed a period, that heart's actively beating. How do we tell if somebody's alive? You feel for the pulse, right? You're going to find out that way if they're alive. Sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Now that is possibly harsh as a way to address it. But if we're talking about stopping a heartbeat from continuing, isn't that technically what we're talking about? Anybody? Okay. Go ahead. And I think that wraps it up for me. I made it short. I guess I knew you guys would be behind at this point. Actually, no, I just went faster than I meant to. Any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am. Ladies, I can't hear her. Yes, ma'am. That is a good way to put that. God created us, so isn't it technically his baby? I can't argue with that. I think that's a good point. Anybody? Anybody else?
Another reason they excuse abortion is if the mother might be about to die.
That's true.
She continues with the pregnancy.
That's true. And that can be a very difficult situation. And in that case, you were trying to keep a mom alive in order to keep a baby alive, and that can be a very difficult decision as well. Yes, ma'am.
I've heard about in vitro fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know all the details, but I have heard before that it is abortion in a sense, because that when they take so many eggs, I don't know if it's in all processes. I don't know if you know any more details about it.
Sure.
But that they have to discard some of the eggs already that
Have been fertilized?
Yes, have been fertilized.
And that is, that is a tricky process as well. And you're right. They do tend to, a lot of times in in vitro, have more than one egg. And more than one maybe end up being fertilized. And you have to make a decision, do we proceed with all these pregnancies or not? And that can be difficult. And modern science, luckily, you know, it's a beautiful thing. We are, more of us are able to have more children, but it can lead to much tougher decisions as well. And certainly there are processes where there can be fewer eggs that are chosen, I guess, to be fertilized in a more selective process. But you're right, that has been a part of that process for a while now. Anything else? All right. I hate to end it so soon. But if you guys have any questions... Oh, I was going to show y'all. If you can, let me get back to that. Oops. And I can try to move this, or maybe you can see it better. Oops. There we go. I don't think that actually mattered for this. But. Okay. Yeah, it's not going to come up on there. What I'll do, I'll make this full screen so more of you can see it. You're welcome to come up and look at it as well. Let me see if I can make this happen. Okay. Okay, see what I can do here. So this is kind of a training video for those that are doing ultrasounds. And try to get where we can see. Y'all can feel free to move around, and I can move back there too to show it to you guys. But what they're pointing to right here is a heartbeat. This is at 5 weeks with an ultrasound. Let's see here. And at 6 weeks, you can see a little more development. Needs to speed up. Okay. But you can see again, those of you that can see it, I'm sorry, that there is movement here. This is a heartbeat. You're forming that cardiovascular system. So, anyway, obviously, there are things going on very early, long before we even know we're pregnant.